We're in a series, and it's on joy, loosely taken from Ecclesiastes 3, those first about 11 verses that talks about there is a time for every season, and it lists the different seasons or different times that are available. And so in this series, Ecclesiastes, we said last week, is kind of a philosophical, reflective book on the meaning of life. It's one of the five wisdom books of the Old Testament: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. And the person who wrote it should be the kind of person who writes it, because he was considered one of the wisest men in the world. They attribute this to King Solomon. And King Solomon, as he looks at life, he wants to, from a standpoint of wisdom, look at everything this side, under heaven, and kind of just say, if you're not thinking of a God, what is it that you can grab out of life, almost in a sense? And in that process of going through it, he talks about the fleeting nature of life. He talks about the inevitability of death, and those things are going to occur. And in that process, though, he says there are gifts that God gives you every day, every month, every year of your life, even though you may go through hard times and difficult seasons. There are opportunities for you to enjoy relationships and to find fulfillment in the things that you do, meaning potentially in your work. The opportunity to walk through life and just see the simple pleasures that God has created for all mankind. And so he begins by telling us that, and we looked last week at this, just these verses in Ecclesiastes 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, and we just talked about there is a time for everything. There is enough time to do in this life what God called and created you to do. And then we talked a bit about the fact that there are seasons, and you need to know that season. And we asked people to take these joy journals, and you did. We have like only 25 left. So if you want to go out on your way out, if you didn't get one of these, grab it. Because we said one of the things to do is to write down what season is you're in. Because he names the seasons. Name your season, and then ask yourself and write in there, what in this season am I moving, and maybe you're moving into a new one. What do I need to let go of? And maybe what do I need to grab hold of so that you can experience joy? Some things need to be ended. There's a book called Necessary Endings that talks about there are seasons sometimes where you have to end something and let go and grab hold of something else. And so he gives you this, there is a time for everything. And then he lists in verse 4 of chapter 3, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. It's later in this series we're going to talk about there is a time to grieve, to mourn. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But today, what I want us to do is to kind of look at this laugh, dance, but specifically continue to talk about what does it mean to embrace life with its joy. Because as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, you'll see in chapter 9, in verses 7 through 12, he gives encouragement in this to grab hold of and enjoy the life that God has given you and all the things around you. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read this scripture. I'll read it. I'm reading it from the Message. And the Message says, seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. Oh yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on the colors and scarves. Relish life with the spouse you love. Each and every day of your precious life, each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it, and heartily. This is your last and only chance at it, for there's neither work to do, nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead, where you're most certainly headed. You kind of go, really, right? Keep standing for a second. There is this sense that when you look at life and see it, he sees both the really good and the negative. This week, my wife kind of tuned into a little of that kind of sour note that Solomon gets. She sent me a text that she had found, and I thought it was interesting. It says, brain cells die, skin cells die, even hair cells die. But fat cells must have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they seem to have eternal life. That would be in Solomon's Ecclesiastes. Let's pray. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit. We've been worshiping you, and we're asking that you would speak, Jesus, that you would, Holy Spirit, open our hearts so that we could embrace the life you've given us no matter what season we're in, and that we could walk with you and experience the joy of the life you've given us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon basically gives some advice on how to embrace life. And by embracing life is to grab hold of the goodness that he places around you. God is not stingy. It's amazing. As you read this book and as you see life, you'll see that God allows the good, the rain to fall on what? Both the righteous and unrighteous. There are good gifts that people who could care less about God, they have no inkling to even think about God. They may be even opposed to God. He still gives these good gifts. He still allows people to enjoy life. He allows all his children that were created. And yet how much more if we've been reconciled and made right and we are relating to him. And that's kind of how Solomon ends this book. Even though you may look at this life and its inevitability of death and all the unexpected things that could occur that could be negative, and as you walk through this life and you grab hold of the good, there's one good that is greater than any good. And he ends it with this, and that is a relationship with God brings great and deep meaning in your life. And so as he begins in this, he gives us some advice. And so I'm going to share with you what this advice is. I'm going to read from the NIV. He says, go. And that word go is important. He says, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved of what you do. That's that idea that God takes pleasure in you enjoying life. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. What in the world does that mean? Right? See, when you read this, you have to understand, I think what he's saying here is I want you to seize each day with joy. Live with the intention to see the goodness of God throughout your life. Go implies more than just go. It's the idea of take hold of or live alert. Wake up and begin your day with intention. Enjoy the goodness waiting to meet you in that day, maybe through a relationship, maybe through something you hear on the radio. Maybe it's the joy of walking by and just seeing a beautiful flower. Maybe it is just the awareness that you have breath and that you can even walk. He basically is making this point that when he says go, he says, I just want you to take hold of. Notice the unexpected gifts and even begin to look at the expected gifts, but don't take them for granted. How do you do that? Solomon says there's some simple ways. He gives some examples. He says, eat your food with gladness. I think about it. Just think, it could be that we could eat, and eat could be a painful thing. How many find a lot of pain in eating? Depending on what you eat, right? But it's a good thing. Every day you get to eat. And not only that, he says, drink your wine with a joyful heart. Often in that day, when water wasn't clean, whatever, they would have kind of like that table wine. They would use that kind of wine, and that wine was to be taken with joy. In the Bible, both food and wine represent the gifts that God gives that comfort and cheer us. Nehemiah 8:10, if you want to read in another context, says, go, listen how close this is, go enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. This day is sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were mourning for their lives and the sin and that they began and they were repenting from. And at that point, he says, it's over, it's done. I want you to move on and I want you to enjoy life. I want you to live in the strength of my joy. And my joy is this, that you have been given favor. That you can walk and live out your life. And God loves us. And he says not only this about eating and drinking. He says, each day, I want you to enjoy your life. And he says, always be clothed in white. Always anoint your head with oil. Which is kind of an interesting thing. Because why always wear white? Why always anoint your head with oil? Well, when you were going to a festive day, when you were going to a sacred day, you would wear white clothes. In that culture, wearing white is not a great idea. How many wear white clothes when you're with little kids that are under 3? How many of you would wear white clothes in a desert, sandy, dirty environment? You see, the ability to wear white clothes was an expression of, I don't really care. I'm going to celebrate. I'm in white. And so all people can see that you're celebrating life. You're celebrating what you're maybe going to, some festive holiday or an occasion. And since it was so expensive to clean those clothes, they would only wear those on those days. And he's saying, I want you to wear those all the time. In fact, what also they would do is they'd anoint their head with oil. And oil wasn't a cheap product. And it was also something you would do on holidays and festive days. It was almost as if he was saying, get some hair gel in your hair, guys. No bedhead, women, men. Or another way to say it is, I want you to put on oil, because oil would often have a fragrance to it. You know, put some perfume and cologne on. Smell good today. It's the idea that the way you enter life is you're looking at the good things that can happen, and you actually are beginning to, with intention, at the beginning of your day as you go out, you're changing your attitude right from the beginning with an awareness of the goodness of God all around you. Every day is a special occasion. That's his point. Every day is a festive day with God. Enjoy life. Dress up. Wear your light, festive clothes. Take a shower. Clean up. And look for the simple gifts of God throughout the day. One of my favorite pieces of writing comes from Helen Keller. And she was known for great joy and happiness. She was actually struck deaf and blind at age 2 and went through a very difficult time until she began to read in Braille and began to navigate through life through the love of someone, Annie Sullivan. Although Helen Keller, though, lived her entire life in the darkness and in blindness, she often would find reasons for joy. And here, listen to what she wrote. She said this, I who cannot see the hundreds of things, I who cannot see find hundreds of things to interest me through mere touch. I feel the delicate symmetry of a leaf. I pass my hands lovingly about the smooth skin of a silver birch or the rough shaggy bark of a pine. I feel the delightful velvety texture of a flower and discover its remarkable convolutions, and something of the miracle of nature is revealed to me. Occasionally, if I'm very fortunate, I can place my hand gently on a small tree and feel the happy quiver of a bird in full song. How many have done that lately? At times, my heart cries out, longing to see these things. But if I can get so much pleasure in mere touch, how much more beauty must be revealed by sight? Yet those who have eyes apparently see little. The panorama of color and action which fills the world are taken for granted. It is a great pity that in the world of light, the gift of sight is used only as a mere convenience rather than as a means of adding fullness. In a sense, Tim Hansel, he comments in a book called You Gotta Keep Dancing. He comments on this passage. He says, when we can wander through each day almost forcing ourselves not to experience the wonder of life. Like flies crawling across the Sistine Chapel, we're unable to see the beauty and grandeur at our feet. And that just, when I read that, I just go, how often do I live with attitudes that force me not to see the very wonder that God has placed all around me? And it's so easy for me to get caught up in my own stuff and to go through a day feeling the pressures of all that I have to do, a lot of pressures I put on myself. Anybody relate to that? That as you go through the day, you just don't see the smile on someone's face. You don't see the lightness in someone's voice. You don't see the songs or hear the songs that are coming from birds that are singing around you. And what I think Solomon is trying to say, his first piece of advice is really pretty simple. As you go through the day, grab hold of it. And grab hold of the moments and look at this world and the goodness of God and the wonder that he has placed in it. So what I want you to do is for a second, think about how you might heighten your joy this week, okay? I want you to reflect for just a moment. I'd love for you to experience God, to somehow put moments of like the stop and smell the roses moments in your life. And let me give you some suggestions. I don't know which ones you'll take, but the first one I want you to think about is in this joy journal, if you started or if you haven't, get one of them. Get a notebook, it doesn't matter. And just begin to record some of the good things that you saw the day before when you start. Or just say, here are some gifts, or here's some things I'm thankful for. One of the biggest changes in my life, and I did it for probably about 3 months in my journaling, and it really made a difference, is I just started every day saying what I was thankful for. I just wrote down what I was thankful for, just listed it out. And I found something really important about that, that the cousin to joy is thankfulness. I found that it was difficult for me to just grab joy. I had to, in a sense, with wonder, think with thanksgiving on what had been given. And when I began to dwell on that, began to express that, it moved me to a place of joy. Some of you, I want you to think about maybe doing something, not just a joy journal. Maybe what you need to do is jumpstart your attitude in the morning. I did this for a period of time in my life. I would wake up, and when my feet would hit the floor, I would repeat in my heart and my mind Psalm 118:24. Rejoice in the Lord, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in what? In it, that day. There are some of you who wake up angry and sad and, right? Wait, raise your hand, spouses or other friends. No, of those who do that, right? There are some people, I don't get it. I have a daughter, we call her Sunshine. She's just like up and happy, you know, that kind of thing. But some of you may need to jumpstart your day, and you can do that. With intention, you can actually get up out of bed when your feet hit the floor and go, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us, whoever's with you, rejoice and be glad. No, don't do that. Another thing that I did merely by accident was I put up a bird feeder outside my porch. That changed my life. And added great joy, because then I added another bird feeder and another one to my wife's consternation, started putting birdhouses up on our little shed out there, and it was a bird mecca. In 2020, when I did some messages from my porch, some of you will recall the birds were just singing like crazy. It's because I'd get up in the morning and I'd have my quiet time, and out there, I would listen to the chorus of birds, and it did something to my soul. I don't know what you need to do, but I want you to truly think about it. I want you to enjoy life, to heighten your joy, and to think about possibly, is there one thing that I could do that could help me bring greater glory to God through your life? Because we all know God is good, right? The problem is, you've heard it before, you just need to tell your face. You know what? You need to smile. You need to know and you need to let the world know. Do you know a smile is one of the most influential things in other people's lives? Your smile. So if you think about that, just be thinking about one thing. The next thing I want you to notice that he says is the second piece of advice is treasure those close to you. 80 years ago, Harvard set out to study, to do a study that would unravel and help understand human happiness and how you can have well-being in your life. And they had 1,300 participants over a period of time. Eventually, they went through it, and they moved that eventually into a TED Talk with some 43 million views. They had five simple things that they learned. I'm going to share with you the top number one thing. Happiness is most profoundly influenced, says Harvard study, by the quality of our relationships. Strong and supportive relationships with family and friends and community lead to a longer, more fulfilling life. Basically, they're saying one of the most important things you can do if you really want to embrace life and enjoy it is to treasure those God has placed close to you. Now, if you look at Ecclesiastes, he says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days, and then he gets really, all the days of your meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life. I mean, it doesn't sound great, under the sun. So I want you to understand a little bit about Solomon's advice here. This idea of enjoy life with your wife is actually in the Hebrew, joyfully live with your wife. And the Hebrew word for live is chai, and some of you have heard that, chayim, right? I mean, it just means to life, and it's done often at a ceremony or at a wedding, in a Jewish wedding, when they go, l'chaim, which is this whole idea of not just live and exist, it's zest of life, celebrate. That's what we're doing here in this celebration, he says, when they would use the word l'chaim. And the idea is that you don't exist with your wife, but you celebrate and truly live with abounding joy. I wasn't going to do this, but I heard some news, and I'm going to ask Luke if you would kind of come forward. If anybody got tickets for their wife to go to Swiftie concert last night, anybody raise your hand if you did. Luke, where's your mic? Man, I got to have you have a mic. Here we go. You got one there? This is so cool. It's all I want. I'm not saying, guys, you got to get Swiftie. That may not be your jam. But that's treasuring your wife.
I didn't go.
No, you didn't go. So you, but you got a ticket, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you I'd do. I wanted to know if he's gonna be in a service. He had no idea he was gonna do this.
I didn't know you were on Instagram. This is good to know that you know these things.
I have people who watch on Instagram and let me know.
Keep you posted.
I have my people.
That's good. Yeah.
And what I found remarkable is that you treasured your wife by getting her a ticket. But it was when you took her out on a date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At 7 o'clock at night. Well, tell us what happened.
Oh, mercy. Okay, so we were out last night. We made plans because we knew she was bummed. She didn't get to go, and we were looking at the prices, and it was just, like, so astronomical. If you guys looked, it's just crazy. So we made plans to go do a date night, make the most of it. Karis McMaster was at her house getting babysitting the boys, taking care of all these things, right? And so we went out. We got coffee at, like, 4:30. That's something we do. So we were sitting there having coffee. We had dinner reservations at 6:45. We had an activity thing we were going to go do at 8. And we were, like, talking about it, and I was looking at the prices, and it was just like, man, I'm sorry. Like, sorry, this isn't realistic, it doesn't make sense. And she was like, I know, it doesn't make sense. And we were watching it, and then it was like, okay, the thing started at 6:30, and meanwhile, we're sitting there, and all these Swifties are, like, passing by, and every time when this group would pass by, I just saw in her eyes, like, the longing and the desire to go. Like, it's like, man, I wish I was in sequins right now, I wish I was whatever. So we, like, we're looking, and it was just like, man, that's crazy, the prices are crazy. So we kind of gave up on it, whatever, and then we actually went into our dinner reservation, finally, at 6:45, we were sitting at the table, and I looked one more time, and I was like, oh, they dropped just a little bit more, and I could see, like, this kind of last moment, and our waitress came over, and I was like, you guys ready to order drinks? And I was like, just give us one more minute, and I was looking, and I was like, I don't know, Hill, this, like, might be, and then the waitress came back over, and was like, are you guys ready to order drinks? And I was like, just one more minute, and then She was kind of sitting there like, what's going on? And it was like, click, 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 click. And I was like, let's go, let's go. And so we left our waitress there and we ran out the door at 6:45. Concert had already started. She lost her mind. What are we doing? I said, bought you a ticket. Drove her down there, dropped her off, watched her cry as we took the picture outside the stadium. Watched her cry as she was talking to the people on the way in through the line. Got the video of her crying while she was at her seat. And money. I mean, what is money at that point?
Yeah, no, you know? Exactly.
What is money
that's
at that
exactly.
point? The that's, joy in her my, life. My the joy in her life.
My point is, yeah. Treasure those close to you. And he says, enjoy your wife. And I just tell you, I think it's really cool the way you treasured her and loved her. And again, I didn't tell you to do this, but I was just really impressed in my heart for just the fact that you loved her like that. Now, let me just say this. I'll go ahead and you can go on. And here's what I want to say. You don't have to get Swiftie tickets, guys. Or women. It's really interesting. In Revelation verses 4 of chapter 2, Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, I hold this against you, have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you first did at first. Buy the Swiftie tickets. No, I'm just kidding. Do the things you did when you were in love. I think he's just making some simple points. So guys, what he's saying is, you remember when you took her out on a date and you would go around the other side of the car and you'd open the door? Do the things you first and once did. Now, some of you guys said, I never did that. Well, maybe you should try. He talks about doing those kind of things when you were first in love, when you would talk and you would converse with each other. You would plan to go on a date or go for on a walk. Guys, in fact, when you're walking, as your hands are down here, try something. Just reach over, because I promise you, it's still in the same spot. Just grab the hand there. And enjoy. It doesn't have to be big investments. But what do you do to treasure the people close to you? His idea is chaim. It means bring zest to life. Do those things that make a difference, that make a memory, that really cause one another to enjoy each other. Women, you can be thinking about just how you love your guy, so to speak. You can be asking yourself, what were the things I used to do? How many gave back rubs? Oh, come on. How many... You know, you can do things like sit down and watch the golf game with them. That's a real labor of love. Yeah, I mean, here you can do things like, I think it's just really simple, and that is just tell him that he drives you crazy. That, and I don't mean it a bad way. I mean it in good ways. I mean, they'd love to hear that they feel, you know, I want to be wanted, right? Do the things you once did. What Solomon is doing here is saying it's really important if you want to make meaning in your life. What brings some of the most meaning in your life is that you invest, that you love, that you treasure those who are close to you. And it doesn't have to be husband and wife. It can be those that are close to you, friends. It can be parents. It can be children. I don't know what it is that God might be calling you to do, but I want you to take just a second, would you? And think about it. And maybe allow the Spirit of God to bring to your heart and to your head a name. I believe the Spirit of God has the ability to speak to us and to you. And as you take a name and say, God, okay, who is there? And then ask him, what do you want me, God, to do for that person? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's just a note that you send them. I'm going to share with you the other three pieces of advice are pretty simple. And that is this. With this, he says, just do your best. He says, you know, work with all your hand. Do all you can. When those opportunities come up, grab hold of the opportunity and do the best you can, and then just leave the rest to God. That's what he says in verse 10. And then in verse 11, he starts getting into its negative. It's amazing how the Bible is so real and so... It just says, take responsibility. The first three are things that you can actually take responsibility by creating and investing and reflecting and looking at the things of life around you. But the next two that he talks about in verses 11 and 12 is the fact that you don't have control of all the circumstances in your life. talks about the race doesn't go to the swift and the battle doesn't go to the strong. He was listing assets, about five of them that people really treasured in that day. And he says, guess what? Even with the best of those assets, there are people who fail because you have to do this. You need to trust in God's sovereignty because you can know this, that as you begin to do those first three, there are going to be things that oppose you. And you have responsibility not to control the things that oppose you, but how you respond to those. Are they going to take your joy? And he ends, as we said, really pessimistically, right? He kind of ends and he just says, you know what? We're all going to die. Every one of us. It's his way of just saying, get perspective. Keep perspective of your life. There is more than just this life. There is yet a life to come. And so just step back when things go not the way you want them to and recognize that it doesn't need to steal your joy. You can still see the things around you in life. But as you walk and continue to walk, know this, this life isn't the end. I just couldn't get over this week when that submersible went down. And for a long time, people were wondering, were they just sitting there? I kind of thought that one of the greatest fears I would have was being trapped in something like that. But I was wondering, I wonder what they're thinking about. I can bet they're not thinking about, I wish I worked more. I wish I would have gone to more baseball games. I think they would have been thinking about this, relationships, the number one thing that we're called to treasure. I'm going to ask you to stand. I feel in this moment, I'm going to ask you to just kind of bow your head. The greatest relationship you could treasure is God Himself. And He has so treasured you. He has shown His love in the greatest way possible. He sent His Son. He paid the greatest price, far more than any kind of ticket you would buy. He paid the greatest price with His life and His blood to let you know how much He treasures you. And I just want to say right now, if you're not walking with Him, or you've never opened your heart and received His forgiveness, right now, would you just say, God, I want to embrace life, and I want to do those things that Kevin has said, but even more than that, I want to invite you, God, into my experience, into my life right now. And if you have been walking away from Him, you've blown it. Right now, God is speaking to you and saying, I want you to know I love you. I want you to enjoy this life. I want it to not be black and white, but to be in full color, and it only happens when you walk with me. So just open your heart to Him, would you? And some of you, God has just been speaking on a level and a plane where He's calling you to just do your best and let go and let Him take care of the rest. And He's just saying one of the ways you can begin to do that is just to take a journal and start saying thanks, or to put up a bird feeder, or to go on a walk. And just stop and reflect on the wonder of this life that God has given you. I truly pray, church, that we would enjoy life this summer. Embrace the goodness of God. Let Jesus speak to you, whatever it might be. Some of you who are going through a real painful season right now, you did everything you could. You had and that swiftness or strength or brilliance or wisdom, and you put yourself into it and it didn't go the way it should have, and for some reason God allowed for it to turn. I just want you to know that God is with you in that. And one of the things he might be asking you to do is to take your eyes off of someone else and quit comparing yourself. Does that resonate in your heart? Just quit comparing yourself. You're not going to enjoy life by trying to measure yourself to someone else. He just wants you to walk with him and let him love you in this very moment that you're in. Lord, we thank you. So now all I want you to do is, before we close, I just want you to think of one thing you might intend to do this next week. What is one thing that you could do to heighten your joy? Would you just think about it for a second? Let the Spirit of God maybe let bubble up in your heart what it is that you need to do. Or maybe you knew what it is when I was speaking about it. Just ask you to do that. Okay, you can look at me. Anybody, just, you got it? Turn to someone, would you? And just say, here's the one thing I think I'm going to try and do this next week, okay? Go ahead and just share with them what you plan to do.